It does feel as if this round of COVID is closer to home than the other two. Somehow, I feel like I know more people struck down by the third wave, certainly than I did in the first and even in the second. Big promises today on an improvement in vaccine rollout. Adrian Gore, the chief executive of Discovery, sending a note to members urging cool heads. We'll chat to a clearly frustrated Aspen Pharmacare chief executive, Stephen Sard, in about 10 minutes, who I'm sure would like to have been far further ahead than he is now in terms of the production of vaccines for Johnson & Johnson. Plus millions of contaminated vaccines, of course, have had to be destroyed. Professor Helen Rees is member of the Ministerial Advisory Committee, MAC, on vaccines. She is the MAC Vaccine Committee advising the Minister of Health on COVID-19. She is a member of the World Health Organization Emergency Committee on COVID-19, Executive Director at WITS RHI, as well as the Board Chair, and this is the most important bit from this point of view on this conversation, but of the South African Health Products Regulatory Authority. Helen Rees, welcome to The Money Show this evening. Thanks for joining us. Were you consulted at all by Johnson & Johnson and by the US regulators as they considered what to do with these millions of doses of vaccine which now have to be destroyed?
Oh, good evening, Bruce. We were in constant contact because SAHPRA's decision depended on the decision of the Food and Drug Administration. And obviously, we were talking to J&J and Aspen in the background as well. But we were really chasing the FDA to please release the data so that we could make a decision with them, because, of course, it's of critical importance to us. Obviously, from the US FDA's point of view, the US has plenty of vaccines, Pfizer, Moderna, and others. We don't. So this was a very, very important decision for us. But to be fair, they talked to us, and eventually, as we know, they released the findings.
And that finding is there's an isolated material in the drug substance that was supplied by an American company called Emergent to Johnson & Johnson. That substance also ended up potentially in the Johnson & Johnson batches that had been made in Kibera. And your ruling is, well, those then therefore need to be destroyed as well.
Yes. Unfortunately, this particular manufacturing site, Emergent, really seemed to have had some problems, and it was first identified through this batch that was contaminated, and then the FDA looked carefully at the batches on either side of that batch, and what was found was that their standards of manufacturing were really below par, and they didn't meet international standards, they didn't meet the FDA standards, and so for caution's sake, they've said that the batches on either side of the batch that was definitely contaminated should not be used. But the good news is that batches further away from that time point, I think we will be able to use. So they're obviously fixing up that manufacturing plant now as we speak.
You think we'll be able to use batches either side of this window of contaminated batches? When do we find out whether we can or not use those batches? Because that's pretty critical, isn't it?
It is. And we already know some of those that we can use because the FDA has told us. And so we're hoping that we're going to be able to use some of those batches. But the FDA have told us as well that they're going to give us more information on other batches that they're now signaling are okay to use. And these are both further away from the time point when the contaminated batch was manufactured. So I think we're going to get some good news on either side. But then, of course, we're going to have to find the batches. And good news is that we have got 300,000 that we're going to be importing from the US this week. And that's going to really help. And that's going to target, again, frontline workers.
Absolutely critical that we do, because we are in the full flush of level three of I was going to say load shedding, but that's how battered and bruised we are. But of this third wave of COVID-19, we are in it. It was confirmed last week that we're in it. We're seeing the infection rates very, very high, the positive rates in terms of the number of tests that are being done. And I think a lot of people are really frightened, and the fear factor in South Africa rising as these caseloads increase, Helen. It really is an emergency to get the vaccine rollout up and running.
I completely agree with you. The only thing I would say is that even if we got lots and lots and lots of vaccines today, and that we're able to administer them. There's a time lapse between the time that you give a vaccine and the time that it kicks in to protect you. And remember that the Pfizer doses also have to have two doses. But even for the J&J, you start to see something at 14 days, but you don't really get a level of protection until about 28 days and beyond. So there is no way to get away from the fact that what we have to do is to really look after ourselves. I really agree with you. This is hitting particularly Gauteng really hard. And things like mass gatherings, mask wearing, I mean, just a huge appeal to everybody to say it's incredibly important now, because remember those figures that we see and that are announced a little while ago, so a couple of days, two, three days before, and those are people that might have been symptomatic, so potentially infectious before that. So, you know, there's a lot of this virus around at the moment, so people must be very careful.
Do we need tougher lockdowns? Do we need tougher restrictions on our movements, tougher restrictions on what we can and cannot do?
Well, I'll speak personally what I think. I think that we need to be much tougher on mass gatherings. I think the curfew is good, because I do think that it, you know, forces people, you know, from sort of bad habits at 2 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday, you know, so which are dangerous times, because, you know, that's when people get a bit, freer in what they do. But so the curfew, I think, is important. But I think that one of the most important things I think we have to review is the numbers of people we're allowing into gatherings. And just particularly because those gatherings are often going to be inside with poor ventilation. So I would strongly, personally think that we should look at that again and reduce those numbers. Those numbers are still quite high.
Are we going to get any substantial vaccines into arms before this third wave peaks? I mean, it strikes me that the sort of peak comes, you know, within sort of 6 weeks, I suppose, of us getting concerned about it. I'm wondering whether or not we're going to be anywhere close to ready to be rolling out vaccines by the middle of July.
Well, I think the J&J, remember, we're getting the 300,000, and that's all being organized now as we speak. J&J itself, and you'll probably hear this from Aspen later on, they're also looking for alternative sources of the raw ingredient, if you like, for the vaccine, so that they can push on that quite quickly. Pfizer is also, we're still getting Pfizer doses coming through on a regular basis, and we have got over 30 million doses of Pfizer on order, and some of which are meant to be coming this quarter still, and obviously next quarter. So Pfizer is going to continue. J&J is there. We need to just try and accelerate access to both of those.
Helen Rees, thank you very, very much indeed. She has many titles, but the most important one for us this evening is the chair of the South African Health Products Regulatory Authority.